Welcome to The Contemplative Life. Three pastors, friends, and spiritual companions help us explore spirituality through a contemplative lens.
I'm Christina Roberts.
I'm Chris Roberts.
I'm Christina Kaiser. We're glad you joined us.
Hello, it's great to be with you. Today we are talking about the differences between stress and stressors. I recently heard Dr. Jenny Tates talk about this, and she offered what I found to be a helpful definition. She said, stress is a mismatch between our resources and our demands. And I think, yeah, I can relate to that. The idea of stress being a mismatch between the resources that I have in that moment and the demands that are happening. And I think it can happen in all sorts of big and small ways. And I think for me, I tend to relate to this mismatch quite acutely, right? So in the moment of the stress, sometimes my unhealthy self might rush out the door and forget something, raise my voice. Sometimes on my healthier days, I'm realizing, okay, the traffic can't move any faster. And so I'm not going to have the internal fight. I do have the resources to meet that match, and I'm just going to be. And then I experience everything in between. However, I think this idea of recognizing not only the stress, that mismatch, but the stressors, what can maybe cause that mismatch of resource and demand, seems really important to me. And Dr. Tates goes on to describe ways that we can notice stress and references different types of minds that we have as we relate to this. So she describes the emotion mind, the reason mind, and then the wisdom mind. And so the emotion mind is our feelings and emotions that arise in the situation, right? I'm raising my voice because I'm flustered. The reason mind is the facts. The traffic can't move any faster, and so I'm sitting in the facts. And then that wisdom mind is able to integrate both of the minds, where we can face the stress, look at the stressors that are causing it, and maybe begin to identify things in a more holistic way. So I think this is quite relevant to the idea of how contemplative practices can help us to deal and to acknowledge both the stress and the stressors. And so I wonder, as we talk about this today, what comes up for the two of you?
I love this topic because it is the everyday experience of living, it seems. I've also been reading books recently in order to join in this like parenting book discussion on a book called Raising Kids with Big Baffling Behaviors. The author is Robin Gobel, I think is how you pronounce it. But she also talks about the mind. And one of the things that comes up in that particular book is how your memory of things affects the present moment. If you've been frustrated by something in the past, it's that much easier to get frustrated now. Or if these things were coming up in the past and you didn't have a good experience, then you're just making that assumption that you're not going to have a good experience again. So that trauma. And I can see that even just this morning, one of our kids, there's rocks on their playground at school, which must be the greatest idea for school and the worst idea for home. Because how many rocks come home in the shoes? And I'm forever cleaning up these little pebbles everywhere. And the kid just took the shoe and dumped it on the floor. And I just about I was like, do not dump your rocks on the floor, because it's like you're always doing it and it's coming back. And so really what's happening is you're having a trauma response. Like, it's like out of proportion. It doesn't really matter. You could pick up rocks from now until they're out of elementary school. I just don't want to. And so that stress response is to raise the voice as opposed to being like, okay, let's pick up our rocks and put them together into the trash can. That would be like you are in what she would call your owl brain, your wise brain, which can make rational decisions. Resonate.
Yeah, I think that's a super helpful notion to talk about, the three different minds. And I think at first glance, I think about the emotion mind being the enemy, right? That's the one that causes us to respond in a way that makes us feel like, oh, man, I don't have my act together. But I don't know. I think if you look at it contemplatively, the emotion mind is also getting you in touch with how you feel about something. I think that's important. I think the wisdom mind is the usage of both. It's like the intersection. I find that to be super helpful. And because you need both, I find that if I'm not applying the reason mind to a certain situation, and most of the time that shows up in my family, in safe spaces. You're just talking about with your kids, Christina Kaiser, like places where you could be You could be the raging parent about something. But I think that's the place where we probably want to use that wisdom mind the most, because like it or not, our kids are probably going to end up in therapy anyway. But we want to lessen the emotional outburst that we have or the emotional response to different things. And I think that wisdom mind, that's just such a helpful concept for me.
I agree. And I think just the idea in general of integration is such a helpful concept in contemplative spaces, and that both belong and we need both to actually attain that wisdom mind. So if I'm just looking at the facts and I don't have the empathy or the desire even to take that fact into a more relatable human experience, then it's just going to remain this logical thing. But it's the integration of both that feels, I agree with you, Chris, very helpful in that wisdom mind. I think another thing, Christina, going back to what you said a minute ago about we have these responses often because there's something that happened before that we're returning back to, whether it's conscious or unconscious. And I like somebody, it might have probably with Dr. Tates again, talking about treating our thoughts like Play-Doh versus cement. And we get these things cemented in our minds of this was how it is, or it was, or it is how it is, rather than the Play-Doh of actually, this is a different situation right now. I don't have to go back to that cemented mindset or memory, but how can this be Play-Doh when I can reshape it into something else? And so that has been a really helpful visual for me as well, to think in terms of Play-Doh versus cement.
Right. And how do we get to that Play-Doh spot? And from everything I've read, it seems like connection is a really important piece of that. So we were just talking about empathy a moment ago, but I've noticed as we've started to have these types of conversations in our household, if we talk about maybe what sort of brain we might be operating from, that instantly it shifts the tone. If there was a really busy energy in the room, it slows it down. And the other possible energy is going inwards, a kind of sloth-like or possum-like energy, just to be able to talk about it and recognize, oh yeah, maybe that's happening for me. I think when you're super frustrated, it's not like you come right back into alignment super quick, but it at least opens up that awareness. It's almost we're in a tunnel when we get into those spots where, because what they say is that it doesn't really matter if you're actually in danger, your brain has already decided that it's in danger. And so you're responding as if you're going to die, even if this has nothing to do with dying. It's just what the brain is doing. So I do think it's helpful to find that way to be in a Play-Doh spot. And is there a way that we can find ourselves into connection or to settle down in order to be like, okay, how do I access that Play-Doh brain?
Maybe I'll just build off of that. I think something for me is just even naming and having an awareness of right now, this stress or stressor just came to me and I'm going to have to compartmentalize this because I actually have to go into this other situation right now. And naming that it is here, I have to put it on a shelf and I need to tend to that later, helps me to know that there's some unprocessed stuff that's in there that's probably going to come out later unless I'm taking some time to tend to that. So that's been one thing for me, Christina. I love what you're saying about the connection. For me, I think just even the naming of that has been another helpful thing. Chris, you may have other things to add.
Yeah, no, I think naming is important. Yeah, I think when we talk about stress and stressors, I think stress is going to come. I think stressors may be avoided by contemplation, right? I think about rhythms. I think if you are active at looking at your rhythms, you can avoid stressors. Maybe not completely, but I think you can minimize them. And I think that's been super important for me. I think another thing that comes to mind is I don't necessarily like negative response, but it is in there, or what we perceive to be negative response, right? I don't think our response is our response, but we have labels, we have judgments for them, but all they really are is identifiers. They identify where you're at. And I think, man, that's super helpful for ego, right? Letting go of ego. Oh, I had that response. Why did I have that response? Because it helps you to look in the interior world where that's where we need to go, actually. We need to go to the interior world rather than the facade. And I think the ego is the facade, right? It's the projection that how we want to face the world. And I think a lot of these moments of stress, when we don't respond the way they want, are actually learning opportunities to move into wisdom, right?
I think as we were talking, another one that popped into my head that I don't always think of right away is finding a more playful space to be in. It's like stress creates the seriousness sometimes. Is there a way to have a light moment? And it's funny because even as you were talking and as the word playfulness comes into my head, I also think, and I don't want you to try to trick me, right? Like, I don't want you to treat me like a little two-year-old, like, ha-ha, I told a little joke, and now I'm going to do this horrible thing to you. Like, not so much that, but can we be there together? And, oh, this is a difficult spot when we are naming it. There is a lot of absurdity to our experience of living. And so can we notice it, name it, be in it together, this kind of a thing? But playfulness is important, and grownups aren't always that attuned to playfulness.
Yeah, I think exactly. I think adults aren't attuned to playfulness. A book that comes up frequently for me is The Little Prince, and we've watched the movie together several times. The saying that adults were children once too, but few seldom remember it. And so I think that's an invitation to become more childlike, to remember your childhood. And I'm in a lot of spaces where adults get frustrated at childlike behavior. And that can be to what we've named in the podcast. That might be some of our stressors, right? That's one of the things that causes us stress, is because we don't remember what it's like to be a child, to explore the world, to be curious about how rocks fall out of a shoe and the sounds that they make as they're doing it. I think our emotion mind probably helps us look at these circumstances and situations in a way, and applying the wisdom mind will also help us to interact with that situation in a way that lets us join in, right? We join in the fun rather than being apart from it. And I think that's what I'm not all that great at it, but it's like, how can I join in the fun? How can I join in the creativity? How can I join in rather than standing apart from it?
Yeah. And I think in an ideal situation, you're either catching yourself before it happens or midway through, possibly pivoting. In a real world, for at least for me, it's often after the fact that it's like, ooh, I didn't respond how I wanted to. And Chris, to your point of taking that time to reflect and to learn from it so that possibly you can address the stressor that's causing the stress next time, to maybe approach it a little bit different or to have what you need to be able to face those situations. And again, I'm seeing a timeline continuum of how this can work in our lives.
I do appreciate all these things that we're naming, like the curiosity and exploring it together. And this is really difficult, I think, because in that adult world, and we can use the rocks, it's fine, it's fresh, it's today. I'm thinking about all the things that I have to get done, right? And that's not happening in this other person. So that playfulness comes from creating the spaciousness, which is what it's at least a portion of what I do for work, right? I create spaciousness for other people so that they can access that kind of blend of the two minds, and so that it's not all one or the other. I can't think because it's all facts, or I can't think because it's all emotion. And where is that merge of the two? Which is funny. I think of the Big Bang Theory, that show that was on TV for a while. Sheldon continuously offers people a warm beverage, and it's this kind of through line in the show where if someone is upset, would you like a warm beverage? And after a while, it builds to like, what kind of a beverage does one need for this? Is it hot chocolate or hot tea or Yoo-hoo? Or there's all these possibilities. But a lot of people suggest these kind of little breaks that allow us to get back in touch with something that's a little more tangible, that gives us time to just sit back, allow the brain to reset a little bit. So it could be a warm beverage. It could be something else, but a warm beverage is seemingly a good one.
Yeah, I like that. I think one other thing that comes to mind is the whole notion of time in this equation. I think time is, it could be how we view time, moving into that wisdom mind, changing our mindsets around time is what helps us interact with life in a more connected way, in a more engaging way. We used your example of the rocks. The other day, my son had some mud on his hands. So I I asked him to go to the bathroom and wash his hands. But before he did that, I wonder how this would go on the wall. And watching his face as he's spreading the mud on the wall, and I had a moment of, now I've got to clean that. And taking a little bit of time and reflection is, oh, you were curious about what it would look like on the wall. Let's wipe it down together. And how can you, and I'd love to be in that space all the time, right? I think that was, I'm like putting my Facebook post up right now with this story, like the best part of me. But I would like to move more towards those spaces where we had the curiosity together. Now let's have the cleaning together. And I think how we view time is so important to the application of our emotion mind, reason mind, and wisdom mind.
And it does seem like those little opportunities for stillness is what brings out more of those moments where we're successful in catching ourselves sooner or even beforehand. I think in those moments, I'm able to reflect, oh, that was the moment. That's what I wish I would have done, which I think that's part of the Play-Doh too, right? Is, oh, that's how I could have connected. That's my teaching moment, and allows us to go back. But yeah, it seems like everyone, even people who do this for a living, you can't help but drop down into that more. The amygdala is like the space that they talk about in the brain books about, like, oh, that's that fight, flight, or freeze or fawn moment where we're just in response. And it seems impossible to get away from it altogether, even amongst people that live alone. I used to love reading like the desert father type books and reading about somehow in the midst of a desert where you live all by yourself, you still find a way to freak out. It seems, and we're all going to do it. It's part of the human existence. And then can we find our way back? And how quickly can we find our way back?
Thank you both for such an interesting conversation around this topic of stress and stressors. And now is the part of the podcast where we talk about what we are into. What are we into?
I'm into such a boring thing, but it makes me so happy. For a year and a half now, I've wanted to switch from a spiralized notebook to a legal pad where the paper flips upward. And I even had gone to the store and couldn't find it. I had to go online. The package got lost. But finally, I have a legal pad and I'm flipping my paper up instead of sideways. And why does that matter? I don't know, but I'm really enjoying it. So that's what I'm into.
I think I've shared that I've gotten a record player and I've been collecting some records. But here in Madison, Wisconsin, I went to a resale shop and I found a George Winston album. And I've listened to George Winston over the years, and I think Christina might have shared that she actually went to a concert like a year and a half ago or 2 years ago. And so I'm buying this record and the lady in line is saying, oh, that's a great album. I got to see him in concert. And I asked, was it here in Madison? She said, yeah, I got to see him in concert before he died. And I had no clue that George Winston had passed away. And so I just took me on this curiosity journey where he's got so many albums. It spans so many years. And so I've been into George Winston, looking at all of his collections of work. And gosh, you could spend a long time. But what an amazing life that he's lived, and what an amazing work of art to look at. So I've been into George Winston.
I am into transitional sweaters. And so we are in that really awkward seasonal change where it's not quite ready for the coats too much and no jacket is a little bit chilly. And so I really appreciate transitional sweaters where it's just the right amount of warmth that one needs to embrace this weather. So that's what I am into. I have one on today. Thanks so much for joining us. And until next time, make it a great week.
If you enjoy listening to the podcast, we invite you to stay connected by signing up for our Foundry Spiritual Center newsletter, where you can learn about even more programs and offerings. You'll find a link to subscribe in the show notes, or visit us anytime at foundrysc.com. Thanks again for being with us. We hope you have a great week.